Today, more on issue two and its national impact, or not, on principles and policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy, Barry Sheets. And along with me today is my co-host, very good friend, Vice Chairman of the Policy Institute, and co-analyst, Chuck Michaels.
And we're having some fun here, sort of dissecting these ballot issues.
Well, absolutely. Well, you know, that's kind of a regular pastime of a lot of folks, including newspaper and television, political journalists, policy wonks, party officials. You know, they've been spending all this time, and they will be continuing to spend a lot of time, probably between now and next spring, slicing, dicing, and looking at these issues every which way but loose. We want to get the jump on things a little bit, and we're kind of thumbnailing it here for you, but we wanted to make sure that we at least were giving our listeners some idea of what happened on Tuesday, what you can take from it, and maybe some of the things that people may be pushing the envelope a little bit too far on. Now, of that, we're talking about state issue two, which was, again, the big 800-pound gorilla in the room. That was the referendum on a law that was passed that would change the collective bargaining laws of the state of Ohio. And it was rejected by the voters by a vote of 61 against keeping the law and 39% in favor. 3.5 million votes cast. 2.14 million voted against keeping Senate Bill 5. 1.35 million voted in favor of keeping it. So, you know, those were the numbers, ladies and gentlemen. That's what happens after all the tens of millions of dollars were spent and all of the signatures were collected and everybody did and had their say and endorsements were issued or for and against. But ultimately, when we got right down to it, voters decided that the whole idea of safety and fairness, how it was defined by the no voters, was what they wanted to see. So that's what we have. Now, you know, Chuck, you and I talked a little bit yesterday on the program. I want to explore this a little bit more because there are some people out there, folks we know, and some national folks, who are making some claims that the state issue two vote was as actually a portent of things to come in the 2012 election.
Yeah, don't think so. yeah, really, I think that's addled thinking. And I think some of the numbers you've worked up on a comparison between issue two and issue three, the votes cast, casts a great light on that. There are any number of reasons why people voted against issue two. And I think a blog that I'm reading here, basically Ohio.com, the Akron Law Cafe, sort of says it pretty well. It basically says the defeat of issue two was a strong message to the GOP. There are a lot of teachers, police officers, firefighters, and state university employees, and they have family and friends who vote too. Basically, a lot of people voted against this thing, not because they understood the issue, because if you talk to those same people, they would probably agree with the fact that one of the biggest money drains on the state coffers is the cost of employee benefits and employee salaries.
Right.
And that those things have to be brought into control. But the fact is, a lot of them also have policemen, firemen, teachers, university employees in their families who were begging them to vote no. And so they did.
Right. That's right. Now, you know, we had that situation in our family where my wife's brother is a police officer. And, you know, the day of the election, he called and he goes, well, you guys vote no on that? And we said, well, no, we voted yes, because we're looking at the long-term implications. Right before the election, a writer for the Cleveland Plain Dealer by the name of Kevin O'Brien came out with an article, and it was entitled The Cost of No. And, you know, I read it and I said, yeah, this is right down the line of what you and I had talked about on this program before, that if the folks who wanted to repeal Senate Bill 5 get their way, and they did on Tuesday, that a number of them are probably going to find themselves in the next 6 months to a year or so out of work, victims of the success of their vote. Because as municipalities and other public entities are having to deal with the fact that, you know, in a bad economy, people just don't have the money to pay the taxes that drive the spending and the payment of salaries and benefits and what have you. And some cities like Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the county, I think it's Jefferson County that's surrounds Birmingham, Alabama, are filing for bankruptcy protection because they don't have any money. They're out of it. So a lot of those folks, especially those ones who are lower on the seniority rankings within their local unions, are likelihood are going to, they voted themselves right out of a job on Tuesday. You know, and I feel for that. But again, and their family and friends who love them very much maybe helped usher them on into the unemployment line with that vote on Tuesday.
And that, those are the sad fact. And the fact is that this that very much moots the argument that was used all throughout the Vote No on 2 campaign, and that is we won't be able to negotiate for proper staffing. Well, the fact is what you've done is you have ensured that you will now no longer have proper staffing. And I think some of these layoffs are going to have to start happening in the first half of the coming year. Because basically cities can see what their bottom line is going to be. And as you and I have also talked about in the past, we both think that this may be a very long, hot spring and summer based on what's going on with some of these Occupy movements, and that there could be some violence in the streets and the cities at the same time when those same cities are having to lay off police and fire because they can't afford to pay for it anymore. This could turn out to be a very bad thing, and it could result in some very far-reaching and unwanted consequences.
Yeah, and you know, that's the point is actions do have consequences, and ideas have consequences. And the idea that something like a 28-year-old collective bargaining structure in Ohio is so sacrosanct that we can't make any changes to it to adjust for, you know, basically what is becoming an economic nightmare across our globe, much less just here in the U.S., it just defies rational thinking. But, you know, what we have to look at, too, Chuck, I mean, we've heard so many things from other analysis about this. You know, one of the things we heard was, you know, this was showing the strength of the unions and the fact that that's going to roll out and it's going to help President Obama get reelected in Ohio. Your thoughts on that?
I just don't see it happening. And the reason I don't see it happening is because despite what this same blog I was reading from, the Akron Law Cafe, claims that, yes, while the state mandate of health insurance requirement of Obamacare, that the rest of the bill is very popular, it is not. People do not want a European or Canadian style healthcare system that supposedly pays for everyone's healthcare when in fact what it does is rations everyone's healthcare. And I see that issue 3 was a clear repudiation of Obama's efforts to seize industries like healthcare and while you can't stretch it too far, I think it's also a repudiation of the seizure of the banking and the car manufacturing industries as well, although it's disguised. It's in that we can't think too far out of the box on that without actually doing the, you know, if we had an election on that, which will never happen.
Well, you know, I've got news for some of the folks, and I'm sure that they're looking at these numbers too. And, you know, it's not necessarily whistling past the graveyard, but I got some news for those folks who think that, you know, this is a grand resurgence of liberalism and the union strength and how that's going to equate into Obama, you know, sweeping Ohio. And, you know, you and I talked about this during the week as well. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, issue 2 went in down to defeat. There were 2.14 million votes cast against issue 2. Now, if that's supposed to say that that's strength for Obama, you have to put it in light of issue 3, just like you were talking about, Chuck, because issue 3 was a referendum. So it was an initiated constitutional amendment, but it was a referendum of sorts on the Federal Health Care Act, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. That was a referendum in Ohio on whether or not Obama, the keystone, the centerpiece of President Obama's entire presidency was accepted by the voters. Now, as we were going to talk about that more in the next program, but just to give you a taste of it, that vote right there, it won. Issue 3 was passed by the voters by a significant margin. There were 2.22 million votes cast in favor of Issue 3. Now, you remember I said there was only 2.14 million votes cast against Issue 2. If you look, if we make an assumption, and you can't make these, this is not perfect assumptions, but let's just take it for food for thought. If all the people who voted to keep Issue 2, who we would consider probably non-union, more conservative, et cetera, that was 1.35 million votes cast. If every one of those people voted in favor of Issue 3, the repudiation or the referendum on Obamacare, well, that means that at least 870,000 votes that were cast by those who were in unions or the family and friends of union members were also cast to repudiate Obamacare, because that's the differential between the votes that were in favor of keeping Senate Bill 5 in place and how many people voted to keep issue, to put Issue 3 in the Constitution. 870,000 more people had to vote than voted on the biggest issue out there, Issue 2, which means that a significant number, over a third of the no voters on Issue 2, voted yes on Issue 3. Now, if that's a sign that this is Obama's stake to take, I don't think it's standing on very solid argumentative ground.
No, in fact, that's an extremely shaky platform. It may sound nice to write an editorial piece about how this is a resurgence for President Obama, but clearly a more reasoned analysis and a little closer look at the numbers shows that that's a very shaky, shaky framework to try to build any kind of an argument for the easy reelection of President Obama on.
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't see, I mean, when you look at national poll numbers showing approval ratings in the 30s and low 40s for a sitting president who honestly has had, for at least the first 2 years of his presidency, had pretty much carte blanche with a Democrat-controlled Congress, his own party controlling Congress, I'm not seeing where that's raising a whole lot of, but you know what? That's the whole point is it's 95% perception. And if the folks, the spinmeisters, can make it perceive that, you know, this was a mandate for Obama and against these attacks on unions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and they play this dichotomy, if people don't stop and think and look through the numbers and say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't really add up here, they can possibly get away with demoralizing people to say, well, it's hopeless. But the point is that, you know, honestly, we got a long ways to go before, just almost a year before November of 2012, when that decision's going to be made. And I think a lot of things are going to potentially become more clear to people as we go forward.
Well, as Robbie the Robot from Lost in Space used to say, that does not compute.
No, it doesn't. So, you can listen to a lot of pundits and people beating their chests over how, you know, now we're going to take this momentum and roll in and just sweep Ohio for the president. Well, I'm not so sure it's that easy. And honestly, I think there's probably a lot of people who are now fired up. Matter of fact, it was funny, the day after the election last week, another group filed a petition with the Attorney General of the state of Ohio, filed signatures on an initiative to the Constitution for next year, targeting November of 2012, to basically make Ohio a right-to-work state. So honestly, those folks were not deterred by the Issue 2 turnout. And they're looking at the numbers as well, because a couple of the folks who were instrumental in bringing Issue 3 to the ballot are involved with this issue as well. So I think they're seeing something possibly that maybe these numbers are showing here. And that is that there are a lot of people that if you come to them with a reasoned proposal that makes sense, that you can get support for. Now,
and unfortunately, we're going to have to continue this discussion tomorrow because we're way out of time. Join us tomorrow at 5:30 for more election analysis on principles and policies.